Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, your host, and I'd like to personally thank you for joining us on this journey. We call it a journey because all of us are works in progress, striving to live by the gentleman's code. Please, before we get started, could you rate, review, and subscribe to the Life of a Gentleman podcast? The reason we ask this is because it can help us reach a lot more listeners that are interested in information just like this. Also, we'd like to extend an invitation to download your own copy of the book, The Life of a Gentleman. You're able to download a copy in ebook or audio format by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, going to the blog, and simply downloading your copy. At this time, I'm joined by my co-host Charles. And Charles, before you say anything, hey. I know that you're going to enjoy this subject today because you've expressed to us in the past your favorite accessory is
the shoe.
Yes, the shoe. And we're going to talk about shoes today. Not really the style of them, but caring for them. The interesting thing is, and I think it was episode one, if we go back there, we had an interview with Stacy Tenenbaum. She was doing a documentary called Shiners. It was all about shoe shining, and she taught us so much, but we thought we'd kind of revisit it because we haven't had a chance to discuss it, give our perspective on it.
Yes, and this is funny because I just recently moved, and you know what I realized? I did have a lot of shoes.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
But it was okay because a lot of them were still in boxes. They had the shoe trees.
No, wait a minute. Shoes in boxes?
You keep your shoes in boxes. That way, you don't ruin them from the dust. You don't ruin them from not wearing them. And it just looks nice and it stores a lot easier.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you want to keep organized, that's an easy way that you can do it. The thing about shoes is they're not cheap a lot of times. They cost a lot of money.
Yes.
They're investments, right?
They are an investment. You do want to protect them. Just like your suit is an investment, a great shoe can last for a long time.
What are some of the tips that we can apply as far as keeping our shoes in great condition?
Well, one of the things that we have to keep them moisturized, meaning we have to shine them a lot. Just like your skin that breathes, that you have to keep moisture and moisturized on, so is your shoes. So here's just a few tips. When we're shining our shoes, remove the laces. We clean off the dirt with a damp rag, and then we apply a small amount of polish, with a thin, damp rag. And now here's the key. We can use a small toothbrush to polish and get all into the crevice. And then we buff them with a brush until there is no more streaks. And then we can add a shine to it so we can see our face.
Yeah. Now that's a serious shine. I don't know if we can do it that well, but something to shoot for.
Yeah, just something to shoot for. But the point is that if you can't do them, take them somewhere to get them shined right.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's professionals that's what they do. Sometimes it's easier to take it to somebody who is a professional in their field and have them help you. Now, the tip I wanted to share is use a cedar shoe tree. And the reason you want to do that is going to help prolong the shape of your shoe. Also, it's going to help with the moisture that's inside of the shoe.
Oh man, that is a great tip. That was like one of the episodes that we were talking with Dennis Stiles when he was talking about hanging up your dress shirt. He said use a wooden hanger because this helps absorb some of the moisture. So using that shoe tree, not only does it keep that shape, but it helps protect it and it soaks up some of that unnecessary moisture.
And odor, I might add.
And odor. Unfortunately, you might have odor.
Yeah, there's no way around that. But here's one thing that can help with that. That's to give your shoes a day off. So let's say you have your favorite pair of shoes. Even though they're your favorites, even though they're so comfortable, you don't want to wear them day after day after day. Give your shoes a day off. Give them a chance to breathe.
Yes, and we have to know what our shoe is. In order what shoe or what type of shoe it is, then that's the care that you need. For example, a loafer, as opposed to a wingtip, or as opposed that it could be all leather, as opposed to something that could be suede. See, when it comes to our boots, we have to know what type of care is the best for our shoes.
Yeah, there's a lot of different applications that you could do as far as waterproofing, especially with the suede, I would
think. Yes.
And here's another tip. Use a shoehorn. I know when I was a kid, that was quite popular, but for some reason, it's kind of gone out of style, except for those that are into high-end fashion, as it were. But I think everybody that has a nice dress shoe should really think about using a shoehorn so you don't destroy the heel. You know, we've all tried to do that, put your thumb in there and kind of crush your foot into the shoe. Don't do that. Use a shoehorn. Be civilized, gentlemen.
Yeah, that shoehorn is a great tip in preserving the back of your shoe, because this is something that you have on for the majority of the time. Sometimes you may take off your suit jacket, you may unloosen that tie, but what do you still have on? You still have on those shoes. So you need those shoes to be in the most and the proper working order as you can. So not crushing that heel and not having a shoe that is hitting on the back, that can prolong the life of the shoe. And also too, knowing your proper size. That is very important, because sometimes we may think what our shoe size is, but just like life, we grow. So our foot may grow also too.
Yeah, that's a good point to think about. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a favorite pair of shoes, and we've all probably seen when the heel starts to kind of lean to one side. What do you do then? Is it time to go buy a new pair of shoes?
Well, first of all, one of the first things I do to prolong the life of the shoe, I simply buy a heel protector. That's a little solid rubber piece that goes up underneath your heel. Sometimes some people, they walk a certain way. They may walk slew-footed, walk more in the front. They may walk more on their heel, or they may walk more on their toe. Whatever way is your dominant side, if you put a heel protector on there, $2 can prolong the life of your sole.
Now that's what I call thinking ahead. You're taking preventative maintenance with your shoes, the same way you would do with an automobile or any piece of expensive equipment. That makes perfect sense right there.
Yes, this is your vehicle that's going to take you places every day. So why not put the little investments in there? But if you have not done that and you have a favorite pair of shoes just wearing out, what can you do?
You can take them to your local shoe repair or cobbler, if you will. And that person there is able to actually repair the heel to its original form. So if you have a quality pair of shoes, the leather is going to last. You're not going to wear that out. The heel might wear out, but like you said, for a few dollars, you can get that heel replaced, repaired, and back out you go. And while they have the shoe, let them polish it up too.
Yes, putting that polish or that shine on it, that makes a difference. And having a couple pairs of shoes for different occasions. I know some people, they're proud. They say, oh, you know what? Only have two pairs of shoes. I have a work shoe and I have a dress shoe. And they're kind of proud of that. What do you say to those people?
I'm not going to judge. But I think you need a few more pairs. Now, I'm not saying you need to have this extensive shoe closet that looks like a warehouse. There's no rules, but you need to have a few pairs of shoes, because different shoes serve different purposes. They're not for every occasion. You may have a very dressy shoe. It's not practical to wear that shoe every day to work. And as we stated earlier, you don't want to wear a shoe day after day anyway. You're going to wear it out faster. And actually, there's going to be a buildup of moisture, and that's where the odor is really going to come from if you're doing that. So you want to have a variety.
Yes, you want to have the variety for the occasions. And remember, like I said, we're on our feet the majority of the time. So the proper fit, the proper size that we have, the proper care for it, and the right number of shoes that we have, not only would it help the duration of our shoes, but it can actually help our health.
Oh, that makes perfect total sense. As I've gotten older, I couldn't agree with you more, because I pay more attention to the fit of the shoe, if you will, how it feels on my foot. That is important to me because I am on my feet quite a bit. But the thing is, you want to make sure that you're comfortable. You don't want to sacrifice comfort for style. You want both. And believe me, you can find it. Some brands may work better for you than others. So if you find a brand that's great, for me personally, I've started to fall in love with Johnston & Murphy. They're not paying me to say this. I'm just telling you, it's just very comfortable shoe for my foot design or how my foot is made. I prefer that. Charles, you may prefer a different brand.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody's foot's different.
Just like I was going to say, everybody's size and everybody's shape is different. Everybody's foot size is different. So you have to find that proper shoe that fits. And when you do, do not be afraid to get it in different colors. If you have the great one that's in black, go for the brown one. These are your two basic ones. And if you feel a little daring, go for another color if they have it. But get two of the basic colors that fit properly. And then this way, this will prolong the life of the shoe because you're not wearing one out.
Perfect common sense advice that you just gave there. Also, a few last tips I'll just throw in the mix is, you want to be mindful of your shoelaces when they wear out. Easy replacement, doesn't cost a thing, and will actually make your shoes look pretty much brand new. It's such a small detail, but it makes a huge difference.
Yes, and another gentleman tip, I know that we talked about this before, but do not be afraid to go to your local cobbler. Know who that is. Get a good shoe shiner. One who will help you, one who's honest with you, and one who can help you prolong the life of your shoes. Something that I love.
Yeah, this was a great discussion. I know that you were excited to talk about shoes. And you know, one thing that I want to say before we close out is that we've got a lot of emails from people over the past few weeks. Now, this podcast has been going for a few months now.
Yes.
And we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts before we close out this segment. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the emails and the suggestions and tips. If you have a show idea, if you'd like to be featured, email us. We're accessible. podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. We'd be more than happy to connect with you. And as we said in earlier episodes as well, Charles and I are available to come out to your organization, speak, motivate, and help inspire others to live this life of a gentleman.
Thank you very much. And as you would say, now it's time for an exciting interview. Are you ready?
Definitely.
Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today we are going to be joined by a special guest, Michael Kennedy. You can find his work at www.iamyourvoiceover.com. He is a watch connoisseur. He has agreed to come on and talk to us about his love of timepieces. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How is everybody doing?
Oh, we are doing great today there, Michael. And I know you wear a lot of hats, but one of the things we're going to talk about is watches, not hats.
Absolutely.
Now, tell us, how did your, I should say, obsession, is that a good word, come with watches?
I had a baseball coach. I had a Little League baseball coach who was an executive for, I want to say, like a tree removal or a waste management company. And he was always dressed to the nines. We had all these other coaches and we was always wearing t-shirts and baseball caps. And he would always come to practice or games in a three-piece suit. But he always had this really beautiful Breitling watch. Breitlings, if you go online, they range anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 watches. But his was beautiful, but it wasn't obnoxious.
Okay.
It wasn't over the top. It blended really well with his already beautiful suit. So I got into it, and I started wearing watches when I was a kid. My first watch was a Casio with a calculator watch. Yeah. I thought I was the coolest thing since sliced bread in fourth grade when I had a calculator watch.
Yeah, I would have been envying you back in the day.
Yeah, I had one of those for my eighth grade graduation, so yeah, go ahead.
Yep, absolutely. My teacher made me take it off so I wouldn't cheat on the math test. So then I got into it, and then I started doing a little bit more homework on watches, and then I kind of just fell into it. You know, fast forward now, I have 31 of them. They range from mechanical to quartz movement to high-end classy like a Breitling to something as simple as a Fossil that's a regular everyday.
So you've got everything you can think of pretty much, and that's amazing, the collection that you've amassed. Now, how did your family influence you as far as watches? Because we were talking and you had a story that we want you to share with the audience about your father.
Sure. We had a family dinner and my cousin had brought her new boyfriend over. Very nice guy. He came, was very polite, and he was dressed well. You know, everybody had wonderful things to say about him after he left. So the three of us, myself, my parents, we were all talking, and my mother kept going on and on how much she thought this guy was such a great guy and how nice he was and whatever. Then my father, who is not really someone to really throw his opinion down. My dad's very soft-spoken and very reserved.
Okay.
My father goes, I didn't like him.
Flat out, right?
That nice guy?
Just flat out. And it even kind of took me aback because my father's not like that at all. My mother goes, what do you mean you don't like him? What's the matter with you? And my father goes, he was wearing pleather shoes and a cheap watch. But he was dressed to the nines. Doesn't make sense.
Something was off.
My mother said, oh, Steve, you're crazy. That just doesn't make sense. Fast forward, my cousin and this guy had a very nasty breakup. And then my father goes, well, told you so.
Right, yeah.
Keep watching pleather shoes.
There you go.
So we have to be looking out for our daughters. If they bring someone home with a watch and pleather shoes, we have to see that it's not the right guy.
A cheap watch is fine. But a watch should really match your outfit. It says that you pay attention to detail. To name drop, Timexes are great, right? They have that time, pun intended, they have that timeless motto, takes a licking but keeps on ticking.
Yeah,
right.
They're an iconic brand in timepieces, but it's not something that you wear with a nice button-down shirt and a nice pair of slacks. Not something you're going to wear with a suit. Right, not the weather with a three-piece Ralph Lauren suit, right? Not going to be the matching piece to it.
Yeah, that makes sense that the watch has to match with what you're wearing. That is a great tip. Now, how can a person achieve this look, or what type of watches, or what do you think would pair great? Just say with jeans and a polo shirt, as opposed to like a suit or a button-down.
So, jeans and polo. You can also get into different levels of it, right? You know, if you're just, you know, going out on the everyday, right? You throw on a pair of Wrangler jeans, right? A fine brand, but you can buy them at Target, right? If you're just going to wear a pair of Wrangler jeans and, you know, a no-name polo, then,
yeah.
You know, a simple watch is fine. But if you're going to invest in a nice pair of $80, $90, $100+ jeans, you're going to probably wear nice shoes that match, right? Nice brown or quarter-inch shoes to match.
Correct.
And then a nice polo, like a Brooks Brothers or a Polo Ralph Lauren. Then you want to step up to something subtle but not obnoxious, right? Because your outfit itself is subtle. There's nothing super crazy about your outfit, right? You're wearing a nice polo, you're wearing a nice jeans, you should have a nice watch to match. So a brand that I would say would match nice with something like that would be like an Invicta. Which is actually, I'm wearing an Invicta today.
Nice brand.
That's a brand that I like. They have a very eclectic portfolio of watches. They have some beautiful watches that have two-tone bracelets and a gold bezel and engraving of their names on the side of the case. But then they have these other watches that have really thick stainless steel cases that are like 52 millimeters with a triple shank nylon band. So find a watch that would be, say, $100 to $300 range. Keep it simple, stainless steel band, maybe, you know, a blue face.
Yeah, something a little bit different. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. But then, you know, say you're wearing a suit.
Okay.
Now you can go ostentatious, right? You can wear the Breitling that my old baseball coach was wearing when I was a kid. But we lot more now is watches that are beautiful but also subtle, right? Because they're supposed to match the outfit. They're supposed to blend into it and complete the outfit, right? So if you're wearing a blue Ralph Lauren suit, right, you're going to wear a nice brown leather belt or a courtesan leather belt,
yeah,
and a nice pair of brown shoes.
Yes.
A really great watch to match would be something that has a brown leather band and perhaps a blue face that matches the color of the suit.
Yeah.
And you can find that. There's a really great American brand called Shinola. They're based out of Detroit. Their watches range in about the $700 range.
Yes, we're very familiar with those. I'm from Michigan. I'm living here now. And so Shinola is very popular where we're at. And they're known for some high quality, aren't they?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, they're proud to be made in America. You know, they're stamped all over it. I think it's nice to see an American brand, you know, kind of hold its own amongst these major European brands, right?
Yeah. Now, what makes a watch a high quality? Because there is a lot of range. There is a huge range within the cost. I know quality a little bit, but can you give us a little bit of why there is a huge range within the cost of watches?
It all goes into how the watches are made, right? The unique thing about watches is good watches are handmade. Right.
Oh,
compared to Bentleys or Rolls Royces, right? They're not just rolled off of the assembly line, right? There's extra care that goes into them, right? They're handmade. They're scrutinized that much more closely than just the assemblyman off the line from your regular, you know, $25,000 car manufacturer, right? So when you go into the quality of the watch, you have to think about what went into the making of that piece, right? You've got these watchmakers who have the steadiness in their hands that could rival a surgeon.
Wow.
They have to go through these what's called horology classes, H-O-R-O-L-O-G-Y, horology classes, to become certified watchmakers. And they're there with their microscopes and their tools and putting these pieces all together like a little jigsaw puzzle. Good quality watches are not something that you can just throw on the line and just bang on out. You're not going to find a great quality watch that's battery operated, right? There are some brands that have batteries in them, but, you know, when you get into the mechanical type watches, right, because the two main parts of watches are quartz movement or mechanical movement. If you look at your watch, if your watch right now is doing individual ticks on the hands, that's a quartz movement.
Okay.
A mechanical movement is a sweeping movement. So the hand just moves continuously around. Those go have even more detail in them, and those go into the thousands of dollars range.
Whoa, thank you for explaining that, because a lot of people probably didn't even realize that. Now, the thing about watches that I was curious about and I wanted to ask you is, at what point should a gentleman decide that they want to wear a watch that's, let's say it's not a leather strap, let's say it's a precious metal or a stainless steel? Is that more of a dressier look?
Stainless steel, I mean, is a universal look.
Okay.
You know, you can find watch brands that are in the $100 range that are stainless steel. Then you can find watches that are in, you know, the higher hundreds and get into thousands of dollars that are stainless steel. So stainless steel is going to be universal. But when you get into the fancier brands, right, I think Rolex is a great brand that really knows how to toe that line. Because they make high-end watches, right? What's your average Rolex? $10,000, $15,000? And they go up across the board, right? So stainless steel, I wouldn't say can be too dressy. I mean, the stainless steel is only really going to be on the bracelet. You know, obviously there's going to be steel on the case of the watch itself.
Sure.
Right? But what really makes the watch stand out is the face and the casing and the bezel.
Ah.
So the case is the fatted part of the watch. The bezel is the ring around the hours and the minutes.
Okay.
A lot of watches, they make the bezel change. You can turn the bezel, right, if you want to lock it in with keeping time for a certain period of time.
Yes.
Kind of like a built-in stopwatch. And then the face. Like, today I'm wearing a nice polo and a pair of khakis. Today I'm wearing an Invicta Aviator watch. So my watch is stainless steel. It's two-toned. So it's got the silver and it's got the gold, and then it has a gold bezel with the minutes up to 60 along the bezel. But then the face is a really cool bluish green, not quite aquamarine because it's more green than blue, but it matches with the $90 polo that I'm wearing.
Oh, wow. Thank you for painting the picture of that for our audience. And to continue on painting a picture, I know we have a lot of audience who are just now starting this journey as becoming a gentleman with us. Is there any watch, is there anything that a person should get first? What are some of the brands or what are some of the price points, I should say, that a person can get when they just trying first starting off?
I'll use Invicta again. I think Invicta is a great starter.
Okay.
Watch. You know, you can, Invicta, if you go into their retail stores, you know, you'll find Invicta that are in the $700 range. But there's so many watch websites on there that will offer great deals on brands like Invicta or Tissot, where some of those websites are worldofwatches.com, jomashop.com, J-O-M-A, shop.com. Even there's a website called smartbargains.com. You can find a lot more than just watches there, but I found a couple of really nice pieces there. But like I said, you know, for someone that's starting out, a nice Invicta, spend a couple $100. Bulova is a great brand for someone who's just starting out. A brand that has really kind of changed, I don't want to say their reputation, but you know, they've been attracting a younger demographic, is Citizen. When I think of Citizen, I think of a classic brand that my father would wear, right?
Right.
And they're nice, right? They have their lower level watches in their portfolio, but they have some of their chronographs, you know, watches that are, you know, $300-$400 watches, and they're a watch that I've seen become very popular for the new college graduate as they're going out into the workforce. So Invicta, Citizen, Bulova, and then, you know, you can go onward and upward. You know, if you really want to swing for the fences and get some beautiful watches, if you're really someone who wants to take their watch collection seriously and go all out, then if you have the money, you can go get a Blancpain or a Jaeger LeCoultre. Now you're talking into the six figures cost of watches.
Wow.
Yeah, because watches, they're not like food. They don't have a shelf life. Once a good watch should last you for the rest of your life.
Right, absolutely.
And an heirloom to pass it on.
Absolutely. You know, I still appreciate the old pocket watches. You know, and I see a lot of people, you know, a lot of my friends at least, who have pocket watches. You know, they have the nostalgic factor, right? They might have seen their grandfather have a pocket watch, then it was passed down to them, where they might buy one on their own. I think Shinola is a great brand for someone starting out, right? It's a quality timepiece. It's not ridiculous in price point. It's about $700. You know, but you're gonna get what you pay for. I think that's, you know, a very solid price point and a great watch brand. Invicta, like I said before. Or if you want to step up a little bit, CAG is always a good brand. You
know, okay. Yeah.
You'll probably cross the border into the $1,000 to $2,000 range when you're looking at tags. Those would be some of the brands I would recommend.
Hey, we want to thank you because you gave us a lot of options there. Depending on anyone's budget, there was something there for everybody. And from the beginner all the way up to the connoisseur. And we can tell just by speaking with you that you have a strong passion for this. And we thank you for sharing so much information with us.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, if anybody has a question, please email us podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com, and we can pass along those questions about watches to Michael and maybe have you back on and answer those questions on air. Would that be all right, Michael?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to do that.
All right. Well, thank you very much there, Michael. We learned so much about watches. Maybe on the next time you can tell us about some of the other hats that you wear.
Absolutely. Look forward to speaking with you guys again. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Take care.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Life of a Gentleman. This week, we are joined once again by another resident stylist, Barnett Holston, who is also known on Instagram as the DC Fashion Fool. And we'd like to have him on this week because he was going to talk to us about his blog and also the fashion trends and the fashion scene in the Washington, D.C. area, in which he is an influencer there. So he has a lot of insight into this. So welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. We enjoyed the first discussion about New York Fashion Week, and so we were excited to have you back on this week and talk to us about things that are going on in the D.C. area, which is a region that I really enjoy visiting. I love it there, so you're probably spoiled living in that D.C. area.
Oh, I love it. I love it here. I don't think I live anywhere else right now.
Well, that sounds great. Yeah, we love that New York Fashion Week when you was on there last time. You were telling us that we just have to be a gentleman when we're there. But now I want to ask you a question about your blog. You had mentioned that you write and you talk to people. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what is your blog like?
Well, my blog is the DC Fashion Fool, and basically it kind of started out that I've always had an interest in style and fashion, and I said, hey, let me just kind of put out my views and what I thought about it. And then, you know, there's this belief in Washington, D.C. that everybody, there's no sense of style. You know, if you want to find anything, you have to go to New York, you have to travel, you have to go someplace else, and you can't do it because just we in Washington are a whole bunch of politicos and we don't really care about that. And I just want to kind of prove that that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, sometimes my style might be a little quirky, but I like to think that if it's a little out there, at least it gives people ideas and say, hey, yeah, I can wear that. So that's kind of what my thinking is about my style. And so I'm just kind of showcasing what I'm wearing and where I am to show that, yeah, you can wear certain things.
Yeah, you mentioned something about D.C., of course, actually, you know, being a very highly political town. Do you find then that the styles there are rather conservative, or is there a trendy fashion scene that some of us may be overlooking?
I will say it can be a little conservative. You know, the old saying is that D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people, but I don't.
Oh, wow. I never heard that one.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think we are really, really fortunate now. It's a great, great time to be in D.C. We have a lot of the high-end stores have popped up into the area in some locations. And the other thing is they've brought on a whole bunch of different types of boutique-type stores, and they're geared towards men. So, you know, don't get me wrong, a lot of the chain stores are good and they have some really nice things, but you know, if you want some variety and something that not everybody's wearing, I think now is a good time in Washington to find some of that stuff, and that's what's nice about it. So you're starting to see people, you know, be a little more daring with pattern, a little more daring with color, you know, but it's all really tasteful and still very, very, you know, it is a very business-oriented town, whether it's, you know, law firms, whether it's the politics or whatever it is, but, you know, they're still very, very presentable, but not that necessarily white shirt, you know, reptile type of thing.
Yeah, now, could you give some advice to the listeners about if they are wanting to try to branch out and take some chances with fashion, what would be a good place for them to start? What would you say?
The first thing I always kind of do is I kind of look at pictures are big for me, so Instagram is always good to kind of look at to see what the people are wearing. You know, you can the fashion magazines are fine, but I think you also have to think about reality because there's a real legitimate cost to some of this stuff.
Right.
And I think that you don't always have to buy the high end stuff, but I think you can do pretty well if you just kind of do your homework and you kind of look around what's out there. There's certain brands that I like. There's certain brands that I like, but I like them even more when they're on sale, and I kind of pay attention to that sort of stuff. And you know, you don't always have to have the very newest, various thing, because you have to remember whether you want it to be classic, something you can wear over time, versus whether it's just going to be a trend that you're only going to get for a season. So that's probably one of the biggest takeaways that I think that I have. Now, don't get me wrong, I think I sometimes fall into that I need to have it now and buy something and it's quirky, and then it's a bad fashion mistake. But it is what it is.
Yeah, that was one of the things we talked about on our earlier podcast about budgeting, that there's no shelf life when it comes to clothing, but sometimes that eye may get our heart to want to purchase it. So we definitely understand. Another thing that we had talked about was florals. I see that you wear a lot of florals. Since your name is DC Fashion Fool, I'm not going to call you a fool, but you definitely do put it out there, and it is great. How do you feel about floral? How can a person wear a floral or pull it off, I should say?
Well, I'll give you one word, confidence. Just wear it.
Yeah.
But for me, I like it. I think especially in the warmer seasons, you know, for spring and for summer, I just think it's fresh. I think it there's a nice color to it. If you notice, when I do it, it's not going to be like a floral suit from head to toe. It's going to be maybe a blazer, or even if it's just a tie. But, you know, I love a good pair of floral pants, though. Don't get me wrong, but it, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be matched with something solid.
Yeah, so either the base or one of the pieces has to be solid. Makes perfect sense. Yeah, the reason we like to have you style experts on is because it gives another perspective to the audience and kind of helps those that are really just starting to branch out in their fashion journey to learn some of the tips and tricks to kind of get a daring look. Another look that we had a question about was shorts with a sports jacket. Again,
yeah.
I know you're probably going to say confidence again, but what's another way or some tips that you can give on that?
Well, it's interesting because there's been a lot of buzz about, the suit with the short look. And, you know, people are vehemently one way or the other, like, you can't do it. No, no, no. But I think that it's starting to get some buzz. I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a couple of years ago, who was it? J. Crew? That really made a push toward it, and that's when there was a lot of commentary about it. You shouldn't do it, and it's not appropriate for office. And let me just tell you, I wore one to church last week, and my mother had a fit. But it was fun. It was 90 degrees, and it was hot, so I was comfortable. But I think that, you know, if you're going to do it as a suit, I think that might be a little hard for people. I think what's a little. You know, if it's the jacket and the pants match, I think that's a little risky for some people, and they might not be ready to dive into that. But if you really wanted to try it, you know, like a printed short and like a navy blazer is a good start. That's always something that's kind of classic, and you know, it's like you're going off to the club or something. But you know, that's an easy way to get started and to break it into it. You know, going for the suit, you know, there's some bold patterns out there that some people are wearing, and I give it to them because even I don't think I'm that risky, but let's get on them.
Yeah, once again, it goes to the confidence, as you say, and you definitely do have the confidence. But touching on a little bit more of if a person is just starting out, what would you recommend, or what color suit, or if a person is just trying to start off into the fashion, is there any tips or anything you would recommend for that person?
Are you asking in terms of like your first suit or?
Yeah, just like a first suit. If I was to purchase a first suit, like some of our listeners, this is called The Life of a Gentleman, and we're doing a journey with some of our listeners. And just in your opinion, what do you think that will be good for a person's first suit?
I would think that a good first suit is a nice navy suit, because I think it has a lot of uses. I mean, if you have to go someplace that's more dressed up, you know, you can get away with a dark blue navy suit. You know, sometimes if you can't afford a tux or you can't rent a tux, a lot of times you can get away with that. And it's a little bit different. You don't have to wear a black suit. It's perfect for the office. You know, if you have to, you can wear the jacket and pair it with some other stuff. So I always think that a good blue suit is key. But I think more important than that is the tailoring. Because, you know, we'd all love to get a custom suit, but, you know, they can run $10,000, $5,000, whatever the cost is. But, you know, if you just, even off the rack, I think that if you just invest in getting that suit tailored, it can look like $1 million.
Yeah, that's some great advice. We've been preaching that on past episodes. Find yourself a good tailor. Make that tailor your friend. Because they really can turn an ordinary suit into a fabulous look for you. Now, We're going to start to wrap up this section of the gentleman's look, but I think we've talked a lot about a couple of different subjects, and I think you've given people some confidence and also some reminders that if you live outside of New York City, you can still be fashionable. It's okay, and you can take some risks. What advice would you give, lastly, to those that may be looked at a little bit strangely in their community because people don't dress that fashionably? What would you tell them?
I think even for me, I think that's an issue sometimes, because when I walk into work and I work in a very casual office and I have on a suit, they're like, oh, he's got an interview, or why is he dressed up like this? But I think that it's weird. I think that it's my comfort level, so I don't necessarily think about that. And then more and more, you know, if you're comfortable in what you have on, people notice that. You know, I feel comfortable in what I have on, and they start to come by and say, oh, what does he have on today? I want to see how he dresses. There's a sharp dressed guy. I want to dress my husband like that. That's what a lot of times I get in the office. Like, oh, where did you get this? And, you know, I think that you just have to be kind of comfortable in your skin, and don't let people say, oh, this looks good on you, and you don't. If you don't feel it, you know, you kind of have to embrace your own sense of style. I think it's okay to look at others, but I think ultimately it's you that exudes whatever it is that the stares and the questions won't even bother you.
Yes, definitely. Those are some great tips. Man, thank you so much there for coming on with us once again, giving us some good style tips. The key that I took away from it is just the confidence that you have to exude when you're wearing whatever you're wearing, and that can be the difference. And a good tailor. We always preach that. So once again, we thank you so much for joining us on The Life of a Gentleman.
Sure. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of The Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today, we had a great show. We started off talking about shoes. We know that's one of Charles' favorite subjects, so we had a lot of fun with that, talking about shoes, and then we slid into an interview with Michael Kennedy. Just to remind everyone, he was a professional voiceover actor and a lifelong watch connoisseur. We enjoyed his knowledge and that discussion as well. Lastly, we had a fun discussion with Barnett Holston, DC Fashion Fool, as he gave us the ins and the outs of the DC fashion scene. Sometimes we know the nation's capital gets overlooked for being fashionable, but DC let us know there's a lot of places in Washington, DC where fashion is alive and well and is happening. We truly enjoyed today's discussion, and I want to give a special thank you to Charles for joining me in studio once again. Also to our producer, Deandra. She does a great job with the editing and production of this podcast. And we'd like to thank our special guests, Michael Kennedy, for coming on, and Barnett also for joining us this week. Please, we invite you to tune in next week to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. And in between that time, if you have any questions, comments, please feel free to drop us a line, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com, and we'd be more than happy to answer any question or inquiry that you may have. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman. Once again, this helps us to reach a broader audience and help those that are interested in learning about subjects like these find this podcast and gain hold of this information. So thank you again for your support, and we look forward to joining you again next week with another episode. Until then, everyone, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by Deandra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.